Remember last week, how many got to see that rolling out of the bed thing that happened? I assured Pastor Matt that I wasn't going to try to repeat that. That's special. That's right there. But it was called Win the Day, and it was from Joshua chapter 10. And here's some of the things that we learned. We learned that Jesus sees dark times as an opportunity for a miracle. Can you say amen to that? God honors bold prayers, faith, and requests. In fact, Mark Batterson said this, bold prayers honor God, and God honors bold prayers. If your prayers aren't impossible to you, they are insulting to God. Isn't that interesting? And then we also learned that God fights for us in battle. We are never alone. How many of you are thankful for that? We're never alone. Well, today, the message is entitled, Clear the Stage. And it's based on Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 through 23. If you notice, that's the end of the book. How do we get from Joshua 10 all the way to Joshua 24 in 1 week? Well, of course, we're going to start our Advent series next week, so we had to finish the series. Not just that, though. If you wanted to summarize what we've learned so far in Joshua from 10 to 24, after the victory there, it could be summarized in two words, conquest and distribution. Conquest and distribution. We see victory after victory as they, Caleb saying, give me this mountain of the promised land. They actually didn't get everything, but they took a lot of it. We'd learn about Caleb saying, give me this mountain. But in the midst of all that is a description of the various places that were now being given to each of the tribes. And it's very specific. So chapter after chapter of the specific boundary lines and everything, conquest and distribution. But now we need to pick up the conversation in Joshua chapter 23, verse 1. Let's see what it says. Now it came to pass, a long time after the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua was old, advanced in age. In fact, I kept off the second verse because what it says is, and Joshua said, behold, I am old, advanced in age. So we're getting the point. This is at the end of Joshua's life. In verse 1 of chapter 24, it says, then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel, for their heads, for their judges, and for their officers. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all, would you say that with me? All the people. He spoke to all the people. My Bible has a subtitle for chapter 24, and it says, the covenant at Shechem. And so this was a powerful moment that Joshua sensed he needed to do, and he wanted all the people there. You see, when we make a covenant, it's both individual and corporate. It's a commitment we make ourselves, but we need to do it with other people. Likewise today, I believe God wants to do something in you individually, but in something in us corporately as well. We need that desperately. We need to see God's breakthrough together. How many of you notice how it changes when you come together with God's people? How many of you thankful we're back together? Any of you that still need to come join us, we got a seat for you. We want you to be as part of the people of God. You can sort of do it online, but you really can't do it in reality because God's presence is powerful here and invites you to join us in that. Well, as we look at this, what I want you to understand is that this is a critical last message for Joshua, and I have three introductory thoughts. Now Joshua is exhorting the Moses exhorted Joshua back at the end of Deuteronomy. So now Joshua is exhorting the people of Israel at the end of the book of Joshua. Both of them are near the end of their lives. In fact, Deuteronomy, the entire book, is Moses' farewell address. Here in Joshua, we have just one chapter, but we sense the urgency in Joshua's message. Those of you that are nearing your end of your life, and I don't know that you know when that is, but if you know somebody, have you discovered how interesting it is to hear what they have to say? There's an urgency there. And maybe you have some precious elders, even in your family, that you will be around at the holidays, either for Thanksgiving or Christmas. Can I encourage you? Pause for a moment and listen to them. Listen to their wisdom. Maybe they still can't play that pickup game of football, but they can certainly share an extra piece of pie together and listen to what they have to say. Welcome their words. Now, in this message, Moses was wrestling with this, and he said, Joshua was wrestling with this and said, this is a generational vision that must be passed down or it doesn't survive. This must be a generational message that must be passed down or doesn't survive. Listen to Psalm 78. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children. Now listen, fathers to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children. How many generations did we just cover? Good. If you're looking, you saw that right there. If you're listening, you saw it. Joshua knows this, that the only way this is going to pass on is from generation to generation to generation. In fact, verse 7 says, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. He knew it was critical for the next generation. Otherwise, if they forget, they disobey. In fact, you've probably heard this before. Christianity is all when we travel away from extinction. Only one generation away. When we travel to the Midwest and we go to see our family, I enjoy seeing a lot of different things. But one thing that breaks my heart is to see an abandoned church. Churches where God once was there and it was a powerful thing. But now that generation has passed on and the church is closed. It's really sad. There's a church, a beautiful church near the university where my daughter Ava goes. And it's no longer a church. It's a retail operation now. It's a store. Or maybe it's actually become a mosque. Devastating to think how quickly the church can fall away in a generation. So we understand all these things, and we realize the urgency with which Joshua is addressing all of the people. And he gave them three action steps, very simple and clear. We're going to organize our thoughts around that. And here's the first action step he said to them. He said, make a decision. Would you say that with me? Make a decision. Now, we're going to read a verse I am certain most of you have heard, and it comes at the beginning of his address. Let's read it out loud together. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Can you say amen to that? I hope you can declare this verse over your family. Now, this passage leads to several important thoughts. Number one, you will serve someone or something. Let me say that again. You will serve someone or something. Don't be thinking that you get to just serve yourself. You're serving someone or something. Everyone does that. What would you, so there's a commercial that's out there right now. I don't get to watch a lot of live TV. I prefer not to, but right now, Ohio State Buckeyes are doing pretty well. So in the middle of the, I'll pray for you. Or you may pray for me. We'll see how it turns out. But there's a commercial out there, and it's by Wendy's, and they start off with this horror picture of these really bad soggy fries. Have you seen that one? And they're going along, and it's nothing that Jerry Hollywood ever offered to one of our breakfasts. And they're like rubber, they're falling over, and you can tell it was supposed to be a McDonald's. It just didn't finish out everything. And says, would you like any fries? And it just is like this horror story. And then, poof, these amazing, fresh, new, brand new kind of recipe Wendy's fries. And they're so crisp. And then the lady over the intercom says, and what would you like with your fries? Not would you like any fries? You will have fries, but what are you going to have with it? No other option. You're going to have fries. Well, you know what? We're not going to talk about fries today, but it is not an option to not serve someone or something. It's not a choice not to serve. You will serve someone or something. The question is, who will that be? Secondly, will you make a decision or will you serve by default? Will you make a decision or will you serve by default? You see, Joshua is calling the children of Israel to be intentional. Say that word with me, intentional. Now, last year, we specialized in going around and enjoying a lot of different things in the pandemic. We didn't want to stay cooped up at home. You couldn't go to where people were, so we went where the trails were. And my children kind of just knew, if it was Sunday, we're going on a trail. They're laughing right now, like, not another trail, Mom and Dad, not another trail. So one time we didn't do a trail. We went down the road a little ways, and we went to the Dismal Swamp State Park in North Carolina. It's about 30 minutes away from us. And when you go down there, you can rent canoes. So we said, let's do a canoe outing as a family. And you go, and we have to split up. We've got, I've got four or five canoes out there, and it was hilarious to watch our family. Now, thankfully, the canal is very narrow. You can't get too lost. But I'm watching canoes go like, vroom. We're trying to figure out teamwork and all over the place, literally running. And it was hilarious to see how they were trying to figure out teamwork and all. It was just not happening. But do you realize if you want to row a canoe, you have to be very intentional. You can't be just talking and just like zoning out. You've got to be, oh, I'm starting to wander. Okay, quickly. As soon as it begins to wander, you've got to correct, constantly correcting. If you decide, I'm just going to go with the drift, go with the flow, you're going to end up right in those weeds somewhere. A tree limb's going to knock somebody out and the whole canoe's going to go over. You have to be intentional with a canoe. Well, you know what? Likewise, you've got to be intentional about your faith. You have to choose to serve the Lord. Listen, just coasting on your mom's apron strings or deciding to drift in the kingdom of God will not cut it. If you decide to drift, you go one direction, you drift away. You must choose and make a decision. Thirdly, we just read it. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Don't follow a leader who is not clearly intentional about where he stands. We have way too many wishy-washy leaders, don't we, that don't want to really tell you where they're going. Don't follow a leader who's not clearly intentional about where he stands. I am thankful. Joshua made it absolutely clear. I'm thankful that Pastor Matt is absolutely clear where he stands. Amen? We're so grateful. You are a leader. I'm grateful that even in my own home, I've made that choice. And so I went to check on it. I teach at Regent, and a couple years ago, we invested in a brick in front of the chapel. It says this. I think it does. My household and I serve the Lord. It's right there. You can go try to find it. It's like searching for where's Willie or whoever. Wally, yeah. I knew from a Waldo. How about that one? Willie, Waldo, whoever it is. You'll find the brick. It hasn't gone away. I took that picture on Friday. It's still there. My household and I serve the Lord. Are you that clear about your declaration? Because you are leading, by the way. Even if you didn't think you were, people are watching. How clear are you in your declaration? Joshua 24:16 says this. Really clear. So what happened when he challenged them that way? Listen, Joshua 24:16 says this. So the people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is he who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the people through whom we passed. They said, you know what? We're not going to serve the gods of Egypt. God delivered us from those gods. And then they said, and the Lord drove out from before us all the people, including the Amorites who dwelt in the land. And said, and where we've gone now, God drove out those gods. We're not going to serve those. And they said, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. The people responded back, we will also serve, and the Lord is in capitals, so that means we will serve Yahweh, for he is our Elohim. Powerful moment. Most of us stop our devotional right there. Great passage, encouraging, exciting, all good. But Joshua said, wait a second, we're not done. We've got to go to another level. And he gave him a second action step, and it was this. Hear the challenge. Say that with me. Hear the challenge. Read aloud with me now in verse 19. But Joshua said to the people, let me hear you, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. Now, that didn't sound very nice, did it? We'd like to be nice in church now. Joshua said, wait a second. I just heard you say you've chosen the Lord, but let me tell you, you can't serve him. He's holy, he's jealous, and he won't forgive you. You see, Joshua made it hard to serve the Lord. Sometimes we are too easy in signing up to serve the Lord. Now, my son is going to be with us next Sunday. And my son, when he was thinking about joining the military, he was evaluating things. He said, okay, well, this particular branch, they do an 8-week boot camp. I want the one that has a 13-week boot camp. I want the service that puts me out in the field, all that kind of stuff, all night, and with fire ants and no insect repellent, all that kind of stuff. The guy's crazy, but he loves being hard. He's drawn to the hard thing. And you know what? He's committed to it. Joshua wanted to make sure that the people really meant what they were saying. He wasn't looking for just a casual commitment. Now, I'm not going to mention at all about that one branch of service that flies with wings or something like that, the kind of cushy thing they do, or the others that kind of just float in cruise ships around the ocean. I did this in the first service, and now I'm doing it online, so I'm in trouble with everybody. But I'm going to stand next to my son all next Sunday. He'll protect me. Of course, I was definitely reminded by all the Navy, listen, they just have to ride around on our boat, and we tell them what to do. And he said that. They do that. He's looking forward to getting off the boat when that happens. But anyway. But see, Joshua made it hard, and we need to make it hard on ourselves. Do we really want to serve the Lord? Or are we in this for casual commitment? Like when it's comfortable, but now the air conditioning stopped working, so we're going to go find another church or whatever it could be. Yeah. Now, then Joshua said, God is holy. God is holy. He said, you can't serve the Lord. He's holy. He's echoing what was said several times in Leviticus. And what it says there in several places is, be holy, for I am holy. Be set apart because God is set apart. You know what this is? It's like having black coffee with nothing blended in. Nothing at all. Straightforward with that. Nothing wrong with that. So I've asked my son to come up. Brandon, would you come up here? All right. All of my family loves Starbucks. What's your favorite drink, Brandon?
Tall caramel iced coffee.
Keep going.
Light splash, 2% milk and light ice, I guess.
I don't know what's like. He has his own drink. Everyone's, we don't order for him. He just stands right there and he says, and goes through the whole list. Like he has his own drink. Every one of my children, they've blended it in. Starbucks has taught us how to blend things, you know? And that's fine for Starbucks, but it's not fine for our serving Christ. We don't blend in. We cannot have a Christianity that is blended with other religions and other values. Throughout the world, we have Christianity that is mixed in. They accepted Christ, but he's right next to their other gods. Come to think of it, I'm not so sure that America hasn't done that as well. We have a blended Christianity, and Joshua said, God is holy. Then he said, and God is jealous. God is jealous. When we think of jealousy, we think of like a maniac, you know, paranoid husband or something. But no, the full meaning it is that God cares too much to share you with anyone else. You cannot play the field with your worship. He's expecting an exclusive commitment to him. Let's go to a wedding ceremony for a moment. I'm actually using the name of someone that brought them together in marriage a couple years ago. She may be watching online. They've moved out of the area. But it went like this. Cindy, do you take Daniel to be your husband? And then the phone rings. Cindy, do you take Daniel to be your husband? Do you promise to love, honor, cherish, and protect him, forsaking all others and holding only unto him? Supposedly the answer is, I do. Now, if they say yes, I try to help them say, you need to say, I do. But let's suppose, supposition, this didn't really happen, Esther panicked in the first service. Suppose she said, well, I am really good with promising to love, honor, cherish, and protect him, but I'm not so sure about the forsaking all others and holding only unto him part. Because, you know, I've got a couple other friends I'd like to still be in that kind of relationship with. I'm kind of actually preferring an open marriage if possible. Would that husband be okay with that? Would the pastor be okay with it? I won't continue that process right there. No, we're asking for, that's what it's supposed to be. Husband and wife, one man and one woman, by the way, for life. Amen? That's what it's supposed to be. And that is a picture. Marriage is merely a picture of our relationship with God. He said, I am going to betroth you and I'm going to marry you and I want you to be mine forever only. That's what the story is throughout the Old Testament. You have committed adultery with other gods when I asked you to be devoted to me. So Joshua said, God is holy and God is jealous and you can't do this. But what was their response? They said, no, but the Lord we will serve. The Lord, and remember, Joshua said, we will serve the Lord. They even switched it, said, no, Yahweh. They put that as the first part of their sentence, we will serve. Seems like things are in good shape. Seems like things are going well. But Joshua knew there was more. he had to go to a deeper level. And we go to our third step. And the exhortation here is clear the stage. Say that with me. Clear the stage. Read aloud with me together this verse, verse 23. Now therefore, he said, put away the foreign gods which are among you and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel. Put away your idols. Now notice something. Joshua said, deal with the foreign gods which are among you. Not were or could be or might be or will be. They're right there in your midst. See, they said, oh, Joshua, we're going to serve the Lord just like you. No, but we will. But the Lord we will serve. Joshua said, okay, good. Well, then deal with the idols that you're holding on to right now in your hands. Put them away. Put them away. You see, foreign gods are not gods at all. They're idols. But let's just pause for a moment. I want you to realize that the Israelites and the other peoples didn't just simply love gold and wood and sticks. They weren't into art when they were creating idols. And we tend to think, oh, that's a primitive thing. No, they chose the idols because they believed the idol would help them, would give them the possibility of usually rains and a fertility in the crops. That issue. But if God doesn't work out, we're going to turn to Baal and Asherah. That issue is the key issue we still have. Maybe you don't have a literal idol, but you probably have something that you're tempted to depend on more than God. So what do we do? How do we put away our idols? Number one, we need to recognize that we do have idols. The most insidious idols are the ones we don't realize we even have yet. It's secretly there, and we have not identified it. So the first thing and the key thing that I'm praying today is that God will show you an idol that needs to be dealt with in your life. Now, how do we identify idols? What could they be? Well, there are many definitions. Let me show you a few. First of all, an idol is any good thing that becomes a God thing. Any good thing that becomes a God thing. Most of the time we think of idols as being evil. No, it actually could be a very good thing, but it's now raised to a level above God. An idol can also be anything that we put before God, anything that we want more than God, anything that we give all our love to. Those are some of the definitions. Now look at this next slide. Here are some of the various categories. This is a way to just, because there's no way to put all the idols that are possible. Let's look at some of them. Theological idols. Political, economic idols. How many of you know we cannot idolize a politician? I don't care who it is. They are God's servant. We may elect them, but they're responsible to God, and they're not responsible to be your personal savior. And if you rely on that, you're going to be disappointed. It's going to swing, and it's going to be somebody else you idolize. No theological or political idols. No magic or ritual idols. No sexual idols. Relational idols. Religious idols. Cultural idols. Philosophical idols. Racial and national idols. But there's four that I have not mentioned, and these are really at the depth of what idols are. Idols of power. Idols of approval. Idols of comfort. And idols of control. Process in your own heart what those might be. I'm going to move this out of the way there. Pastor Matt, I'm going to give this back to you so I don't drop that. I'm going to move this out of the way here so you can see kind of a practical picture of what we're talking about. So right here, and I want to already publicly thank Pastor Bill. He's the ultimate in helping with object lessons. But we have here a picture of your heart. And in this heart, we see Christ at the center. That's good news right there. But that's probably not the whole story. Around this cross could be some idols. In no particular order, and I'm not looking at any particular person. Family could be your idol. It's a good thing that becomes a God thing. Travel could become your idol. There it is. Politics. Church can become your idol. When following the church, being in church, more than listening to God. XXX, we won't say anything more. TV could become your idol. Alcohol is some people's idols. Cell phone. Have you ever wondered how you would live if you didn't have your cell phone? And don't pretend you haven't panicked when you haven't found yours. Boats, become people's idols. They say they're just making investments. Uh-oh, stepped on some toes. Football and all other kinds of sports. I should probably put that right there. Money can become your idol. All right, ladies or gentlemen, cars. Drugs. We look to drugs to support us where no one else seems to help us. And our house, all those homoramas, because tempting could become an idol. So what's happened to our cross? It's been overwhelmed by that. We start by learning that we have. So what we do here is we start by identifying the idols. We start by learning that we have them, but now we can consciously eliminate them from competing with God. We take these idols and we move them out of the center of our heart. We start to see Christ emerge again. And we may have to be very systematic about this and move the idols out of the center of our heart. Let's see, a couple more. Look a little better, doesn't it? So first of all, Joshua said, put away the idols. But there's one more step. Look at the verse again. Let's read it one more time. It says, now therefore he said, read that loud with me, put away the foreign gods which are among you and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel. I want you to know, I have read this passage many times, but there was a time a few years ago, this jumped out at me and went, this is the point of the whole passage. Those three words, incline your heart. I got that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord part. I got that this is supposed to be a little bit of a challenge, but I missed this one. Now, I'm going to use this as a little illustration. You see, this broom represents which way your heart is leaning. It's supposed to be going like this. We're saying, God is the Lord of my life, but in reality, our heart is inclined to the idols. Do you see that? We still, in name, we're here, but even as we're at church, we're checking the stocks or the scores or something else. This practically is where we are meeting our needs. And Joshua said, you've got to incline your heart towards the Lord. You see, the core issue is not who or what you are serving, but where your heart is serving, but where. I'm saying that again. The core issue is not who or what you are serving, but where your heart is leaning. Now, I'm going to show my age here, but there are movies like this nowadays. But my wife and I one time went to see a movie called The Bridges of Madison County. It's a beautiful movie. It was acclaimed, all that. But as you went into the movie, we realized there's something interesting going on. This is a lady who had an unexciting marriage, a boring life in the middle of, I think it was Iowa, in the Midwest somewhere. And out of the blue, this photographer came, professional photographer, to photograph the various bridges in that county. And somehow he just showed up there saying, can you help me see where they are? And her husband was away for the weekend. And all of a sudden, her heart began to shift. And she became fascinated with this mysterious stranger. And you know what happened. Basically, an affair developed for the whole weekend. At the end of the weekend, he needed to move on. And he essentially was inviting her to move on with him. So they come to this powerful moment. They're in the center of town, and he goes, and in order to leave the town, he needed, let's just say he needed to turn right. And he's looking in the back rearview mirror to see which way she was going to turn. And she makes the choice to turn left. She makes the right choice. So technically, you can say this was a good Christian movie. But you know what? Everybody in the theater was disappointed that she didn't turn right. Because along with her, she was still married to her husband, but her heart was leaning towards this other man. And that is many of the romances we have. I'm with this person, but my soulmate's over here. I'm serving the Lord, but really, this is really what I love. Don't incline your heart. You see, listen, I'm very serious today. Unless there is a true heart change, there is no generational transfer of your faith. Transfer of your faith. There is a true heart change. There is no generational transfer of your faith. I hate to break this to you, but after this powerful chapter in Joshua 24, you need to look two chapters later, Judges chapter 2. And it says, after Joshua had died and everyone that knew him had died, the people went back to worshiping the foreign gods. The next generation will not follow, listen, the next generation will follow your heart, not your words. The next generation will follow your heart, not your words. Listen to this conversation. I'm sure it's happened somewhere. Son, I want you to know that being a Christian is very important to our family. Now, go with your mom to church. What's going to happen? Is that son going to follow the words or the heart? He's going to follow what the dad demonstrated by the value of his heart. You see, the only way, the only true way to eliminate idols is to empty your heart, to clear the stage of everything. Pastor Matt gave me permission to do that. We need our stage to be clear of the idols. We need our heart not to even have them so that this could lean any other direction. Where is your heart today? Watch this video right now.
Clear the stage and set the sound and lights ablaze. If that's the measure you must take to crush the idols, jerk the pews and all the decorations too, until the congregation's few and have revival. Tell your friends that this is where the party ends. For your sins, you can't be social. And seek the Lord and wait for what he has in store. And know that great is your reward. So just be hopeful, 'cause you can sing all you want to. Yes, you can sing all you want to. Sing all you want to, still get it wrong. Oh, worship is more than a song. Take a break from all the plans that you have made, and sit at home alone and wait for God to whisper. I beg him please to open up his mouth and speak, and pray for real upon your knees until they blister. Shine the light on every corner of your life, until the pride and lust and lies are in the open. Then read the word and put to test the things you've heard, until your heart and soul are stirred and rocked and broken. 'Cause you can sing all you want to. Yes, you can sing all you want to. Worship is more than a song. We must not worship something that's not. You clear the stage. Perfect. You clear the stage. Make some space for the one who deserves it. Anything I put before my God is an idol. And anything I want with all my heart is an idol. thinking of is an idol. And anything that I give all my love is an idol. 'Cause I can sing all I want to, yes I can. Sing all I want to. Set the sound and lights ablaze. If that's the measure you must take to crush the idols.
I want you to look right here. With all my heart of you, this is what you walk out of here, not dealing with what God wants to do in your lives. Some of you, this is what your heart looks like. Christ isn't even in the center of your heart. You've never actually invited him into your life. Today, I want to be the day that you say, Jesus, you are my Lord. I choose to serve you the rest of my life. Some of you, you have Christ here. You've actually asked Christ into your life, but you've got idols crowding him all around. And today, God says, I want those idols to be moved out of the center of your heart. But then there's many of us. The idols are just right next door, and our heart is inclined to them. God says today, I want you to clear the stage. Would you bow your heads with me? Father God, move right now. Who is here that would say, Pastor Brad, the Holy Spirit has convicted me and shown me that I don't even know him. I've never, ever given my life to the Lord. But today, I'm choosing to do the hard thing. And when he says, follow me, I'm saying, yes, Lord, I will follow you the rest of my life. Is there anyone that's making that commitment today? I will follow you the rest of my life. Raise your hand nice and high if that's you. Today, I'm choosing him. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? Today, I'm choosing to follow the Lord. I've been playing around with this thing way too much. Now, there are others of you that you know there's an idol crowding out Christ in your life. And the Holy Spirit's telling you, today's the day to take that idol out of the center of your heart. And there's others of you that know you've moved the idol away, but your heart is leaning that direction. And you know that other people can see where your heart leans. And today you want to switch the inclination of your heart where it needs to be. Would you all stand with me right now? We're going to sing a really, really old song. But I believe there are many of us that need to be up here on our knees doing business with God. We're not going to ask what invites you to come forward going on. And the Holy Spirit knows what's going on. So let's sing right now. I invite you to come forward as we sing, I Surrender All. Don't miss this opportunity to come up and do business with God. What's the Holy Spirit telling you?
His presence I daily live.
Yield to his word to you today. Don't resist him.
To Jesus I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus.
What does it take to clear the stage in your life? I invite you to come and do business with God right now. Sing, I surrender all again. Reach out to the Lord. Give him what he's showing you right now. I want you all to listen to me. If you are capable of kneeling, would you do so? If you're not capable of kneeling, you can sit. But I believe corporately we need to make a statement before the Lord right now. However you're capable. Lord Jesus, we come to you today and we thank you for the strong word that Joshua courageously gave at the end of his life. He was strong and courageous to the end. And we thank you that he invited the people individually and corporately to say, we surrender all. So, Lord, as Harvest Assembly, we take a moment, we bow the knee, we say, Lord, we surrender as a church. We pray that you would root out the idols, that you would root out the sin, you would root out all issues in our church that would keep us from being what you want us to be, from what you're calling us to be, from what we are on the cusp of becoming. Father, we ask for true revival, Lord, true renewal. God, let us not cover things up. Lord, if you need to do more exposing, we pray that you would do more exposing, oh God, so that everything that needs to be dealt with is swept off the stage and you alone are at the center of it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. So, Father, we come and we say we surrender all and we give it to you. And, Lord, we don't just do it for a nice moment at the end of a service before Thanksgiving. We purpose to live a life of surrender, a lifestyle of regularly giving our lives back to you. We thank you for it, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We invite you to touch us right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Would you stand with me? Would you sing, we surrender all. We surrender all collectively.
We surrender.
Yeah. Go ahead and say, we surrender all.
We surrender all to God. All to thee, my blessed Savior.
We surrender all.
We surrender all.
Thank you, Lord. Can you praise the Lord right now and bless him? Now, I want to remind you of two things. First of all, John Calvin said, our hearts are idol factories. You can deal with your idols today, and another one's ready to spring up tomorrow. They're like dandelions. They're awful. They keep showing up. That means we have to have a lifestyle of dealing with idols in our lives. It's not a one-off commitment. It's a daily, hourly, if necessary, vigilant commitment to deal with the idols in our lives. But second of all, I believe as we do this, God's about ready to give us breakthrough in this place. Amen? So we're going to close by declaring breakthrough of our church. Let's sing right now. Let's close this out right now.